Renee, this is the Lord. You want a piece of me, Renee?
Well, amen.
How do you follow
back? Really? I'm speechless. That don't happen too many times. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I do want to say that one day I was talking to a brother in our church, member, good man, and he said, "Now, when is the bishop coming again?" I said, "Well," I said, "Bishop? Yeah, Craig, when's he coming?" I said, "I like it. I like it." So when he comes to our place, we call him Bishop. We don't treat him like a bishop, but we call him true bishop. Amen. So anyway, okay. You got something you want to say?
Yeah, I wrote down Abigail. I was getting a word for Abigail.
Oh, thank God. Yeah, we can.
I don't know.
Myself
cried, so it's on, right?
Not
yet.
Hallelujah. Amen. What I saw was, because usually it's really hard for me to minister to, you know, people that I know really well and are in leadership and their children. I don't very often, but I saw you, like, on the campus, and it's like culture shock. Boy, is that loud. I saw you, like, look, and because you've been, we don't realize how covered you are now and protected. And going there and just, like, your eyes, like the lens has been pulled, or the covering has been pulled off, and you seeing, it seems like it's getting louder and louder, seeing the world the way it is. And it's like, on one sense, when people come to this, you know, something oddly is drawing. There is a draw of darkness. There is also, so you either go into and be a part of, or it's like being appalled and saying, I want nothing to do with that. Because it's like you're going to, it's like a season of maturity, and it's not, it doesn't have anything to do with mom, dad, the church. This is you and God. And God is saying, God is calling you, Abigail.
Amen.
There is a call of God on your life.
Yes.
And I saw you, like, saying, there is no way I'm going to be a part of that. And you know it's not any pressure, because sometimes when you feel pressure, or like someone almost feels like claws in you and saying, you have to be like this, you have to do this, it is repelling to you. And you step back and say, I'm going to be who I am, and I want to be unique, and I don't want to be in the ministry, and I don't want to be a pastor, and I don't want, you know, it's like that has come. But there's something else that changes, because this is not a religious thing. This is the call of God on your life. And I saw you, like, 20 years down the road as an adult being a minister in the house of the Lord.
Yes.
But it's almost like a mixture of, don't have to worry about crying because I think I'm going to do it. like a Mother Teresa type spirit that really ministers to the natural need and is very relevant to the world. And it's very uniquely Abigail. And but also very spiritual. And you have a sharp cleaver in your hand. It's very sharp, and it cuts. It goes straight to you. And that's what people say to me. It goes, your words just go straight in. I go, I'm sorry. but, you know, we all have different callings, so that's what my calling is. It might not be very long or lengthy, but it's, you know, right in here. And that's what you're called to. And there's no need to be fear, because the way I look at things is whatever happens between now and when I go to be with Jesus, God's grace is sufficient. And I trust him so much, that trust has ridden over anything that could happen, a world collapse, a financial collapse, death, whatever happens, I know God will take care of me. And I totally trust him. So, Lord, I just release Abigail to be who you called her to be. And I thank you, Lord, that we don't have to fight all the time. She's afraid that she's going to have to give up who her uniqueness is, and her perceptions of things will have to die, and she'll have to give them up. But, Lord, I thank you that the resurrection and rebirth is so far exceeds any dream or any vision. It's not even in her mind of the things that are going to be in her life. And I thank you, Lord, it's going to be glorious, and that people are going, that's Abigail. I thank you, Lord, for the power that abides within her. And I thank you, Lord, for the release and the excitement. And it's going to be so much better than anything. It's going to look different. But I thank you, Lord, we release her to be who you've created her to be. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hallelujah. That was good stuff. Amen. There's going to be a change and a shift, and Abigail, and what you're going to find is that you're going to begin to take up more responsibility, and God's going to speak to you about areas in your life, and it'll be like a shift, and you'll say, "Ooh, I need to believe God for that. I need to trust God for that. I need to step forward in that." It's kind of like, instead of your parents doing it or other people, no, Lord, I'm by faith going to step forward and trust you in this area and believe you in this area. And what you'll see is that God will stand behind you and back you up, and you'll move into a greater dimension of authority. And that's what God's wanting you to step into, is a more authority. But there is a training process, and a process that God will take you through. So when the shifting happens, don't get shook. And then just say, okay, Lord, I'll do that. And your key is to spend time with God. In your quiet time, God's going to speak to you. And so it's a real key in your life to make sure that you have that quiet time with the Lord, that he can speak to you, that the Holy Spirit can talk to you, and that you can figure out things that you can just kind of... Because what God will do is he'll give you his perspective on the situation. And so just be faithful. Amen.
And you're going to be voraciously hungry for the Word of God. And I see God like reading, like going through the Gospels, and you seeing things and getting revelation on different aspects of what that means. And it's going to be so neat, because you know this is between God and Abigail. And it's going to be freeing.
Yeah.
You're going to really enjoy
it.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, I'm just trying to get my bearings and just see which way the wind blows here. I really wouldn't mind God to just blow in and knock me out, knock you all out, and we could just lay on the floor. I've been in several services where that's happened. That's wonderful. Amen. So, Lord, we just thank you for just opening. Thank you, Lord, for opening the windows of heaven. Thank you, Lord, that they're open in this place. Lord, we agree that they're open, God. And we just thank you, Lord. All right, Lord, amen. If you're wrestling with fear, some kind of fear of future, fear of money, fear of men, whatever, you just need to stand up, and God's going to set you free. Now, the thing is, you can be what will people think? Who cares? If you're free of fear, man, I'm just telling you. So if there's anybody that has, amen, anybody else, just some fear bothering you, amen? Afraid of the future, afraid of what's going on, afraid of what's happening? Anybody else? Amen. Father, right now, there it is. You're being released. Whew, glory to God. Lord, we command a spirit of fear that antagonizes, tries to convince them that there's something wrong with them. Lord, says all sorts of things to them. God, we break the power of that in the name of Jesus. in the name of Jesus. You be free right now. You be free. Say, I receive freedom. Amen. You be free right now in Jesus' name. Be released right now. There's the Spirit of God touching you and feeling. Feeling. He's feeling you right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Just lift up your hand and say, Lord, I receive. Some of you are going to... There's some of you in here that are going to sleep at night. All of a sudden, sleep's going to return. You'll have a restful sleep instead of being woken up and things happening. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You can be seated. Now, who is it that got pain down your legs? You've been some struggling with some kind of pain. Amen. All right, we've got two, three. Amen. I want you to know, what's your name, sir? Joshua. The hand of God is on your life. And you've been going through this transition, through this change, and it's like there's been an inward struggle because you've been confused about what God's doing. Well, the biggest thing you know that God's on your side. He hasn't left you. What's the enemy in this change that God's making in you? The enemy's trying to buffet you. He's trying to come up against you, and God says, "Take a hold that He's faithful." He's faithful to you, Joshua, and things will work out. Now, there's been some disappointments and things that didn't happen the way you thought maybe they're going to happen, but God said it's okay. Just know that He has the best for you. Okay? God knows the plans that He has for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. And things are going to get better than what you thought.
Hallelujah.
There's a financial thing that God's going to straighten out for you. And there's some things that God's going to straighten out. And then all of a sudden, hope's going to rise, and you're going to see again because you feel like you've been in this dark place. And God, why aren't you speaking? It's kind of like the future. Lord, what are you saying? You've had to walk by faith, step by step by step. You've had to take it day by day by day. But here's the good news. God said He's pleased with you. He's pleased with your efforts. Amen. In fact, He says, well done. Amen. You pass the test, now it's time to move on. Amen? Amen. So, Father, right now, where were we?
The leg.
Amen. I knew it. I was just testing you all. Amen. Amen. Father, I thank you, Lord, for healing right now. The leg, in Jesus' name. And, Lord, going down to the foot, ankle, God, in the name of Jesus. Ooh, there it is. Now, every bit of pain has to leave in Jesus' name. Every bit of pain has to leave in the name of Jesus. Ooh. All right. You're free in Jesus' name. You're healed. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. This is my wife. We celebrated our 40th year anniversary last year. And so we've been married 40 years. And we hadn't killed ourselves.
Wow.
We've been in love. Now, I'll tell you this. After 40 years, we still go out on a date once a week.
Amen.
Unless something comes up, things come up. But we go out on a date. We make it priority. Go out on a date, look at each other and say, "You looking good. You looking good." Amen.
Amen.
I remember somebody got that word last night over here, but we won't talk about it. Amen. Amen. I'm still trying to get my bearings. Amen. So just hang with me. Everybody just pray. If Renee gets something, she'll pop up or she'll give me the high sign. She'll give me the look. Let me ask you this. How many husbands have ever had the look from your wife? Ooh. You're like... Oh. Yeah. Now we'll be fair. How many women have got the look from their husband? Amen. 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 Yeah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your mercies and your kindness. Amen. Okay, Lord. Where are we going? Amen. I'm going to minister the word right now, and at the end of the word, I'm going to give a prophetic declaration. I don't know what you call it. I'm just going to. It's a prophetic. It's the word, but it's going to come alive prophetically, and you have. I want you to see what God's saying to his body, because I don't believe most people understand what's happening in the season we're in. And so you got to grab hold so you can see. So when things start to happen, you can say, aha, I already know about that. I have a word on that. Now, let me just say this. I don't know if they gave out the warning, but sometimes when I come, it can go, the service can go a little long. And it's because I preach and then I minister prophetically, and Renee ministers prophetically, and so that it can go long. And so if you need to leave, you can go ahead and sin and leave. All right? Amen. Yeah, there you go. Amen. No, you're free to. Well, let's everybody pray. Father, forgive him, for he knows not what he does. Amen. Amen. But I'm serious. You can leave anytime you want. Amen. Miss God. Amen. No, just joke. You can leave. Amen. You're free. Amen. We're free to dance. Amen. So, Father, thank you for your word. Let us hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us. God, I pray that you would make it personal to each and every one in this place, that they would hear what the Spirit of God is saying to them, and then they would be doers of the word, not just hearers only. And all God's people said, amen. All right. All right. Now, this is an exciting thing to talk about. I'm going to talk about, everybody say proof. Okay. Or being tested. That's exciting, isn't it? Okay. I read this article, this on the internet, and this man, he said this. He said, many in the body of Christ have experienced delay, disappointment, discouragement because circumstances have pushed back their dreams and hard work. Can anybody relate? So, 2014, I believe, was a difficult year for most people. I went through some things in 2014. So, of course, when I'm going through things, I ask God, I say, God, what are you up to? And God told me, he said, I'm preparing you for the next season. I was like, oh, well, that's exciting. Really? And then, which is, you got to understand this, the way God builds our spiritual muscles is through testings or being proved. Well, it's either amen or amen, but it's the truth. Amen. Now, Acts 14:22 says this, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith. Why? Here's Paul says, here's what the why is. We must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. Now, in the Greek, tribulation means afflicted, affliction, anguish, burden, persecuted, trouble. Now, if you experienced these things last year, and maybe they're even kind of going on to this year, can anybody say amen or oh me? Yeah. Now, here's the thing. The Bible talks about this subject over and over again, but when it hits me, it seems strange. I'm like, Lord, what's going on here? What's happening here? Well, 1 Peter 4:12 says this, Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing has happened to you. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't know how many went. Where did my little thingy go? Oh, here it is. When I went through the faith message, I still walk by faith. I don't want to say I'm over with it or anything, but I kind of felt like, you know, that if I walk by faith and I obey God completely, I wouldn't really have any trials, wouldn't have any troubles. I would just be, you know, on a cloud of bliss, I would just, you know, instead of walking in the church, I would float in. You know, I would just, and everybody would say, "Whoa, look at Tom." You know. And then I'd read these other scriptures. I'd say, "Well, what's going on here?" Well, Deuteronomy 8:2, it says, "And you shall remember that the Lord your God will lead you by the way of these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and to test or proof you to know what is in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not." Now, back in Peter, it says this. Notice it says concerning fiery trials, which is to try you. To try you means putting to proof by experiment of good or an experience of evil. So when God tests us or we're being proved by good or evil, because sometimes we can get, good can come to us and we can sin. Can everybody say amen? Oh boy. So we could be proved or tested by good or evil. And when it comes, the test comes to see if we'll be faithful to God or not. If we'll obey God or not. Okay? I'm going to make this... There was a preacher that preached similar to this. And I really didn't like what he was saying, to be honest, because it didn't line up with my theology. And then I was under the assumption that if I walked by faith, I wouldn't have these kind of things happen to me. And so he's preaching and he says that he worked in this factory where they would proof pipes that they worked on. They worked on these big pipes and they would proof them. The way they would proof them is they would put pressure on the pipes. And it would build up to a certain pressure. And if it was a good pipe, they'd take the pressure off. But if it was a bad pipe, steam would come out and they'd begin to squeal. And so they'd say, "Oh, we need to weld it back together again. We need to do it, get it right." And so they do that. Well, I've seen this happen to me and others, that when we're proofed or we're tested, steam can come out of us. And we can begin to squeal like a little baby. "God, I'm not getting my way. Lord, you don't have my way." Isn't it true? I mean, you know, God, I mean, we all get proofed, we all get tested. And we can either just say, "Amen, hallelujah, thank Jesus, I'm going to go through it." Or we can begin to get all mad, frustrated, and then all of a sudden we squeal. Amen or oh me. Amen. Now, Psalms 105 verse 19 says this, "Until the time that the word came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him," talking about Joseph. The scripture means God tested him, Joseph, or he could test us to see whether we'll remain faithful to God or obedient to God when it seems like the word of God is not coming to pass. Now, here's what I've done in my time of proving or testing. I've done this. And you could write these down so you'll make sure you won't do what I've done. Too many times when I'm under pressure, I do three things. One is I begin to ask the wrong question. "Lord, why is this happening? Lord," I prayed in Bristol. I was at a church in Bristol. I prayed for a year and a year and a half, one prayer. And God never answered. And I finally came to the realization one night, "I guess, God, you're not going to answer this, so I need to move on and ask something different." So oftentimes we'll ask the wrong question. Number two, I came up with the wrong conclusion. I can come up with the wrong conclusion. "Well, God, you left me. Where are you at, Lord?" "I don't feel you, God." You know, Lord, I guess that promise is not going to come to pass. I guess that is not going to happen. Hello? Now, here's the big, this is a big one. Or, I think, it has something to do with my past sins. Because how many have ever looked back, or I'll say this, or how many has had the devil have you to look back and you're taking to the drive-in theater and then there's all your sins and you're like, oh Lord, I know I'm bad. Or he can throw them things at you and all of a sudden guilt, you know. Well, that's why you're going through it, you know. You're just a no-good, scummy, you know. You're really not one of God's kids, you know. If God really loves you, you know. But it's because of your sin. I mean, you've done this in the past. Look at the way you've acted. So you're in just trouble. Now, I like the way this says it. The NLT, the New Living Translation says this. Psalm, I like the way it reads. It says in Psalms 105:19, the same verse we just read, but says a little different. It says, until the time came to fulfillment, his dream, until the time of the fulfillment of his dream, the Lord tested Joseph's character. Whoa. Huh. So see, often God will prove our character. Are you really Christ-like? Well, see, thank God he knows areas we're not. And so pressure will come so that he can change us into his image. Now here's what I want you to get. If you get anything out of this, get this today. And I'm going to say it 3 or 4 times. Maybe do it a little different way. God will protect our lives from evil, but the evil around us will and may affect us. I'm going to give you an example. God protected Joseph's life by letting him be sold as a slave into slavery when his brothers wanted to kill him. I was thinking about this morning. I thought, I wonder when I'd have gave up, if I'd have gave up because of the things that happened. I wonder if I'd have just gave up. Lord, golly. So then the next thing, God protects him from a woman who wanted to commit adultery with him, but he was thrown in prison. You know that'd be God's grace when a woman's throwing herself at you that you say, no, I'm out of here. They all look at me funny. I'm just... So the next thing, God protect him from not giving up when the butler, he made a deal with the butler, and he said, if you get out, he's going to prophesy him, interpret the dream, if you get out, tell about me. He didn't do it. He got out and didn't tell about it. So he had to wait 2 more years. The Bible said he waited 2 more years in prison. Was forgotten. The butler gets out and he just forgets about him. I don't remember what that guy prophesied over me. I interpreted my dream. Just forgot him. 2 more years went by. I'm like, Lord. And like I said, I was thinking, Lord, when do I give up? Now, Joseph gives out, becomes second command of Egypt. But listen to this. Some of you are struggling with unforgiveness. And I'm telling you, God can set you free and help you to walk through it. All right? But God protected Joseph by helping him to forgive his brothers. And if you read the story, he kind of put his brothers through a lot of different things, just did these different things. But what he ended up doing was, is he ended up forgiving them. Now, after all these pressures that happened to Joseph, here's what he concluded. Okay, after all these things happened to him, here's what he concluded, and it's found in Genesis 50:19 through 21. But Joseph replied, talking to his brothers, because they're thinking, he's going to kill us because we did all these things. You know, we threw him, we made him a slave, we did all these things, so he's going to kill us. But here's Joseph's reply. He says, don't be afraid of me, Am I God that I can punish you? You meant to hurt me, but God turned your evil into good to save the lives of many people, which is being done. Woohoo! So don't be afraid. I will take care of you and your children. So Joseph comforted his brothers and spoke kind words to them. He concluded, what y'all meant for harm, God turned around for my good. And not only my good, but others. You, your families, and really the Israel. Amen? So when we're going through hard times, and it looks like God's word's not coming to pass, is our conclusion that God, what you're doing right now is for my good, but it's also for the good of others. Again, God protects our lives from evil, but we can be affected by the evil around us. And I'm going to look at real quick at Paul's life. 2 Corinthians 12:7-9 says this, "And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given me, a messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure." Isn't that exciting? I get revelations about Jesus, and then a demon comes and starts buffeting me. Isn't that exciting? So, because of Paul's revelations about Jesus, there was given him a messenger of Satan that would buffet him and would cause all sorts of trouble. And if you want to, you can read in 2 Corinthians 11, and it explains how Paul was buffeted. He was in the deep. I mean, everywhere he went, people would... everywhere he went, and it necessarily wasn't him, but trouble would be stirred up. People would fight against him. Throw him in jail. I mean, he cast a demon out of a woman, and you think everybody would get excited. They didn't get excited. They threw him in prison, and he got beat. Now listen to this. Here's some more pressures that Paul faced. 2 Corinthians. Four, 7-9. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. See, have you ever been hard-pressed? Maybe your job, pressure on people, family, hard-pressed. You ever been perplexed? There's been too many times in my life when pressures, testings, trials had come upon me that I'd get perplexed. God, what's going on? I don't get it, Lord. Where are you at? Where'd you go? Persecuted. Sometimes the people you love the most can persecute you the most. Struck down. Lord, here I'm going. I'm doing your will. Bang! Your feet get knocked out from underneath you. You land on the ground. Lord, what's going on? I was serving you faithfully, and now I'm struck down. I'm laying here. Ooh-wee. Now here's Paul. He says this in verses back up, when you go back up to Corinthians, or when we were up in Corinthians 12, he says this. He says, "Now concerning these things I plead with the Lord three times that it might depart from me." Now here's God speaking to him. He said, "My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, while I'd rather boast of my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now here's the thing. God, he went through all these things. God protected his life by letting Paul preach the gospel to the known world. But Paul was affected by the evil when Satan came to buffet him. Now, here's the thing. What the enemy meant for harm, God used for good. So Paul concluded, when the enemy buffeted me, it made me weak. So we spend most of our Christian life trying to be strong. I want to be strong for the Lord. I want to do... Paul said, I'm just weak. I'm just weak. But when I'm weak, then I'm strong. So I'm not spending my life trying to be strong. I'm spending my life in weakness so that God can be strong through me. A little different. So I've spent a lot of my life trying to be strong. Instead of just saying, Lord, I'm weak. I can't do this thing. Man, when I get knocked down, tripped up, fall down, Lord, I'm weak. Trying to be strong in the ministry. Put on some facade. Yes, I'm the man of God. And thank God I am a man of God, but I want you to know I'm weak. I know my frailties. Amen? But when I just say, Lord, here they are. I'm weak. He says, good, good, great. My grace is sufficient. I'll make you strong. Ooh, amen. So, back to the question. When you're being proved or you're being tested, when you're facing fiery trials, and you could be going through them right now, I believe this is the word for this church, for people that came this morning. Now, here's the thing. When you're going through all this, are you asking the wrong question? Are you asking God the wrong question? Now, it's good to ask for wisdom. You need to ask for wisdom, but you don't need to ask the wrong question. And there's been too many times when I've gone through stuff that I asked the wrong question. Why? Why did this happen to me? It's because you live in a wicked world. Hello. Or we come up with the wrong conclusion. A, 1 + 1 = God's forsaken me. Yep, this promise is not going to happen. Yep, I'm not going to prosper. I'm not going to be healed. I'm not. And this, you know, we can just come up and all of a sudden. And it all has to do with us being proved or tested, but it has to do with the Word of God hasn't come to pass in our timing. Because see, we had it kind of figured out in our head when this thing was supposed to happen. Amen? Man, I knew, you know, that God, before now, God, surely you were going to answer this prayer, or you were going to answer this promise. But Lord, I've been struck down, I've been perplexed, I've been, all these things have happened, and so Lord, you know what, I'm just quitting. I just forget it. When all the time, in the middle of all this, remember what it said about Joseph? God was testing his character. Ooh, you going to be a man of God? We're so funny. Ooh, Lord, I want to be just like Jesus. He says, all right. We raise our hand. Yes, I want to be like him. Oh, yes. And then God says, okay, well, you're going to have to go through some testings and trials. Oh, Lord, I'm not sure. I just don't know. Wait a minute. Second thoughts. Amen. Ooh, not sure about that. Or do we think what we're going through has something to do with past sins we've committed? Because see, we really don't feel free. And I want you to know there's been times I have people betray me, do different things to me. Amen. When I was up in Bristol pastoring, they asked me to resign. That was an exciting day. Can you imagine someone asking me to resign? How could they? You know, what? It's all good now. Amen. It wasn't so good then. That's one of them times when I was struck down. Boom. Bam. God. Now, here's the truth. I left. I said, look, and I'm taking my little family, and we're out of here because you guys are a bunch of outfits, and I'm leaving. But the Lord said, you got to stick around, Tom. You can't leave. You got to stay. And I'm like, oh, Lord, Jesus, help me, Lord. Amen. So there's one particular person that the hurt, after I left Bristol, was in North Augusta. There's one particular person that in here I was like hurting. The truth was I hurt because of the fellowship we had when we were in Bristol. It wasn't like he was a stranger. He was one of my elders that, you know, asked me to resign. So it wasn't like somebody I didn't know. It'd been different if somebody, you know, come up one day from somewhere and said, you know, you need to resign. I said, well, I don't know you, so you need to leave. But I knew these guys, and I'd spent time with them. And so I was, you know, walking with the Lord. And the Lord said, Tom, if you'll do this, I'll free you. And I said, all right, Lord, tell me what to do. He told me what to do. I did it, and I got free. Got free of that thing in me. I was like, phew. You know what? I like freedom a lot better than bondage.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
I mean, and the thing is, to get free, God will ask you to do things you don't want to do at times. He'll ask you to step out in things that you're like, Lord, I'm uncomfortable doing this, and he's like, I don't really care. Do you want to be free or not?
Yes.
You've asked me to set you free, so are you willing to do this? I'm like, yeah, Lord, I'm willing to do it. Because, see, really, I want to end up, if my life, if my funeral, and I don't know what all will happen at there. Craig comes preach this crazy sermon at my church. You need to believe God for 40 more years. I'm like, I ain't doing it. My kids are like, yes, Dad. I'm like, no, I'm gonna be with the Lord for that. I need to. But anyway. But at my funeral, I just want people to say, you know what? He was the godliest man I knew. One of the godliest men I knew in my life. Not that, ooh, he was some fine preacher man. Ooh, he prophesied. No, he had a character about him.
Amen.
He was like Jesus.
Amen.
So remember that, Craig, when you... How am I telling you what to say? He was... Tom was a godly man. Amen. Amen. All right, so, or do we conclude like Paul when we're going through these trials and tribulations, when we're being proofed, when God's testing our heart to see if we'll obey Him? See, there's two kinds of testing. The devil tests us to try to bring us, or I'll put it this way, tempts us for evil, to do evil. God tests us to see if we'll obey Him or not. Okay, so God's not tempting you with evil. God doesn't put you in situations and tempt you with evil. The devil tempts you with evil. And the devil will tempt you with good. He'll say, ooh, here's the way out. Whoa, yeah, I know the way out. Come on. And you'd be like, oh, yeah, looks good. Whoa. And then God say, no, 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 over here. But Lord, that's hard. Over here, come on. So here's what Paul, and I got this out of the Amplified Bible, and it's awesome. 2 Corinthians 12:10. So for the sake of Christ, here's Paul, here's what he's concluding after all he goes through all this mess. For the sake of Christ, I'm well pleased and take pleasure, And I haven't got quite there yet, but I'm working on it. I take pleasure in infirmities, insults, hardships, persecution, perplexities, and distresses, for when I'm weak in human strength, then I'm truly strong, able, and powerful in divine strength. I'm like, Lord, gee, you mean I got a delight? It would help. Ooh. Now here's what I want you to remember. I've said it again and again. When we are being tested or proved by God, He will protect our lives, but we will be affected by evil that is around us. Now, I'm doing this little sermon deal here thing, so I asked God this question. I said, yeah, but the Lord, I said, God, but your word says this. It says, no evil shall befall you. So how do you line all that? You know, how do you come to grips with that? Now, I wasn't asking in a mean way. I was just saying, Lord, this is what the word says. So how can you say no evil will befall you? It's in Psalms 91. And he said, go back and read it again. I said, all right, I'll go back and read it again. Psalms 91, 7 through 10 says this. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes will you look and see the reward of the wicked. Does anybody know what the reward of the wicked is? Death, destruction, bad things happening. The evil people get rewarded for their evil. Now sometimes we don't see it, but God rewards them. They reap what they sow. Amen? Now listen to this. Because you have made the Lord, who is your refuge, even the Most High, listen to this, your dwelling place. Therefore no evil shall befall you, any plague, disease, or sickness come near your dwelling. When you make the Most High your dwelling place, then no plague, disease, or sickness will come near your dwelling place, that place that you found in God, that He has become your dwelling place. God, I abide with You. I'm with You. Therefore, there may be evil happening all around us, but guess what? Doesn't affect that place. See, the enemy was buffeting Paul, but Paul said, no, I found that dwelling place in God. I'm dwelling with God, and I found that place in Him, and therefore, no evil shall befall me. Now, here's what I believe we can do. That if we'll stretch out by faith and reach our family members and say, pull them in, that no evil shall befall them either. Now, we may lose a house, we may lose this, different things may happen, but I'm telling you, in God, we can find refuge. In God, we can find... Now, let me break this down, because this is the prophetic word. I'll say that. When God begins to judge, and He already is, judging this nation, or we can say He's disciplining this nation, bad things are going to happen, and we will be affected. Unless we're in that dwelling place with God. See, when the money goes south and people are crying, oh, what are we going to do? We'll say, God meets all my needs. I don't know about you, but God meets all my needs. When fear rises up, when bad news starts to come, the news, there's very little good news, but most times it's all bad news. And so we can say, when bad news comes up, I have no fear of bad news. My heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Oh, now, let me just say this. America is not the kingdom of God. Okay? And so we have to get up into the kingdom of God. We have to understand the principles of the kingdom of God, that they could work in us and through us, so that when testing comes, and see, because when people are going to get started to get rewarded for their evil, I'm just telling you, it can affect us. And I'll give you just a simple, we had a ice storm come through Augusta, North Augusta. Well, I was affected because I didn't have power for 5 days at my house. But you know, I was up in God. I got up in God. And so, you know what? It's no big thing. God's taking care of me. You know? I learned in God that even though I was a part of what was going on, really I wasn't a part of the world. Do y'all get it? Do y'all see it?
Yes.
We've got to find our dwelling place in God. That is our word. We have to find our dwelling place in God. So when discipline or judgment begins to take place in others, and all of a sudden God judges the wickedness and the sin, and people start to reap what they've sowed, that when it happens them and then it affects us, we're like, but I'm in God. In fact, I'm in the kingdom of God. And so what's happening to you, I'll pray for you. Here's where God wants us to go to, is that now you can find refuge with me. You can come on. So I was given a prophetic word. Somebody come by and said, you know what? He said, Tom, I saw you going out to give bread to your neighbors, baking bread and giving them out. And I thought, amen. So when bad things come and everybody's hungry and they don't have food because they maybe didn't stock up, we're doing some stocking up things. We're doing some different things. But I can go in, and if I don't have enough, if I just have a bag of flour, I can begin to make bread, and all of a sudden, I got more than one loaf in there. Ooh, there comes another. Every time I stick my hand in there, one comes out, and then I say, here, you need some food? Here you go. Now, if you need some real food, let me preach the gospel to you. Amen. Here'd be the real miracle. Have no electricity and the oven still works. Thank you, Jesus. Y'all know Graham Cook? Heard of Graham Cook? One of his testimony is he drove 2 years without putting gas in his car. I'm like, Lord, anytime you want to do that, that's fine with me. Amen. So, let's end this thing. If you're being tested or proofed right now, are you doing the three things that sometimes I've done in the past? I've repented. I'm not doing. But I'm asking the wrong questions, come up with the wrong conclusion, or I think it's some kind of sin in my life that stopped me from receiving from God. See, what is the conclusion you're making in the situation you're in right now? Now, we need to be like Paul. So for the sake of Christ, I'm well pleased. I take pleasures in infirmities, insults, hardships, persecution, perplexities, I like that, and distresses, for when I'm weak in human strength, then I'm truly strong, and I like it. It says able. God's made me able and powerful in divine strength. Father, right now in the name of Jesus. Now here's what the Lord just spoke to me for you to do. Right now, before we go anyplace else, you need to cast down vain imaginations that's been coming to you about any of these different areas. If the enemy's been throwing guilt on you, condemnation, you need to cast it down. If you've been asking the wrong question, you need to cast it down. If you've come up with the wrong conclusion, cast it down. This is your part. See, I can't do these things. This is your part. Taking every thought captive. And I'm telling you, when you're being proofed or you're being tested, you have to learn to take every thought captive. Because if you don't, those thoughts will overcome you. Let me just say this. You have the mind of Christ. You have the mind of Christ. I want everybody to say, I have the mind of Christ. So now that you have the mind of Christ, you can cast down vain imaginations. Do it right here in this service. Start right here and say, Lord, I'm going to begin to cast down these vain imaginations. These things that the enemy's been using against my mind, I'm going to cast them down. And I'm going to get settled in the Word. If it hadn't come to pass, so be it. But God, I'm going to stand firm. Let me just say this. If you say this morning, Lord, I need divine strength to just overcome, just raise your hand. Amen. Father, we now put up the other hand and say, Father, right now, because strength's coming right now in the name of Jesus, we open strength that you'll be renewed like the eagle. Woo! There he is. Jesus. There he is. There's strength. God's given you strength, and you have confessed with your mouth, you have a sound mind, so now you can battle these thoughts. So when they come up again, you can cast them down again. Hello? See, sometimes it's even discovering. It's seeing. Lord, give me wisdom. Lord, give me wisdom on see the thoughts that are not yours. Let me see where I'm making wrong conclusions. Lord, let me see where I feel guilty over this situation. And I don't exert faith because I'm guilty. How can I? So I cast down guilt. See, there's no condemnation for those in Christ. Is everybody here in Christ? Let's cast it down. I'm telling you. I'm just spending a little bit of time here. Now let me just say this. Holy Spirit, all fear is based on a lie. So when the enemy tries to put fear on you through feelings, oftentimes he's tried to put fear on me through feelings, then thoughts would come, or it'd be reversed. Thoughts would come, then I'd get feelings. And sometimes my feelings, or what, all the time, my feelings try to confirm that what the fear is telling me is true, and it's not. All fear is based on a lie. Amen? So when the enemy tempts you to fear, whether it's through a thought, whether it's through feeling, or whether it's both. I've heard thought, feeling all at once. Boom, bang, boom. And so here was my reaction. Here's what I learned to do. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. That's a lie. I don't believe it. Because see, it's happened in a different place when you're a crowd of people or whatever. And it's happened. And so I just say, in my mind, I don't believe it. Let me just say this. You have to understand this. The enemy knows when you're not fighting. He doesn't know your thoughts, but he knows when you're not fighting. So if you've given up, he knows. And then it looks like sometimes he can read your mind. He can't. He just knows how to manipulate you. So Father, we do. We stand against fear and we say it's a lie in Jesus' name. See, we just prayed for it a little while back. Prayed over it. Now, we've got to see that what the enemy's been telling me is a lie. And I refuse to believe his lies. He is the father of lies. So I refuse to believe his lies in Jesus' name. Sweet anointing in here. I'm telling you, just receive. And I'm telling you, the peace of God that's in here, do y'all feel that peace? I'm just telling you, we can walk out in that peace and we can live in that peace no matter what comes up against us or hits us. Now, we may get perplexed, we may get struck down, we may go through some things, but you know what? Here's what I found out. Though the righteous fall, God gets them up. God will lift them up because He's faithful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, Father, I thank you, Lord. Lord, we receive this peace. Amen. And what God's doing with some of you, He's calming your mind. It says the peace of God will guard your heart. There it is, Lord. Guard their heart, Guard their mind right now in Jesus' name. You see that? See where God's guarding your heart? God's guarding your mind? All of a sudden those thoughts, we got to keep it up. You got to keep fighting. You got to keep taking every thought captive. And here's the good news, is God's giving you the strength today, and you have the mind of Christ. Amen? God's giving you strength today, and you have the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah.
I do bake. I make bread. And when you get your yeast out, usually they always say, proof it. And that is putting the yeast in water and a little honey or sugar. And then you can see it's good. It's going to do what it's called to do. So you can look at it as a negative thing or be in fear of a testing or something coming forward. But it's better to look at it. I can prove. I can show that I've passed the test, that I'm ready to raise the bread. My yeast is good. Or another way to look at it is that at the end of your freshman year, you had end of the year finals, right? Or whatever year you're in, sophomore, junior. Instead of it being a bad thing, you are proving that you understood, that you passed all those tests, that you listened, and that the word of history or the word of biology or whatever is in you. So it's a good thing. The Lord, when that test comes, he's going, oh, Craig, I know it's in him. He's going to show the world. He's going to show the devil that it's in him. So I just wanted to add that it's a positive thing.
And I just say, for some of you in here, when she said that, some of you have passed the test. But don't be in fear. It's kind of like I've seen people that beat cancer. And then they're in fear. Ooh, it might come back again. No, I'm not afraid. Why? God delivered me once, he'll deliver me again. Amen? Hallelujah. So don't let, like I said, you have to take thoughts captive. Amen? Oh, okay. Amen. Sometimes I get instructions and then I'm like, and if it wasn't for the Holy Ghost reminding me, I'd forget it. Anyway, let me just say this to the, I'll say this. We'll go 20 and under. And it doesn't matter. So if you're 20 or under, this applies to you. This is thus saith the Lord. When are y'all going to come up here and start praising God? My son, when we were at First Family Church in Augusta, took it upon himself, because he felt led to do it, that he was going to go up to the front, and in that church, I'm just telling you, that was not encouraged. But he decided, I'm going to go up front and praise God. And he said, whether it's by myself or whatever, I'm going to do it. He went up, and then other youth said, well, if he can do it, I can do it too. And after a while, we had a line of youth that were up praising God during the service. I'm just telling you, God's waiting on somebody in here to step out. Now I see a lot of the younger ones, because see, they don't care. They're not inhibited. They're like, hey, this is great. I can run. I can wave up a flag. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. But I'm telling you, they're in the kind of the middle there. God's waiting. So when you get the call, don't back off. And if you're the only one, amen, you're the only one. God's doing something in you. Amen? Hallelujah. Second thing, you need to look at this. Well, I guess it's six. The six cities again that you guys are going to possess, go, take over. Now, I don't know. That's the only instruction I have, to look again. Look again what God... And I know what God's getting. Seven cities and... And then God had mercy and said, we'll throw in North Augusta too. And so, amen. But you were given assignment, amen. Seven cities. Dalton, and I don't know what, Calhoun, I know was one. And I don't know, there's whatever, amen. You need to look again. Need to bring it up in prayer, whatever, I don't know. I'm just telling you, it's the Holy Ghost. Look at it again and just see if there's anything you're to do. See if the Lord will have you to do anything. Amen. So that's to the church. So, amen.
Expand your declarations.
Oh, there he is. There it is. Do you hear that? Expand your declarations. See, God hadn't forgot about it. Amen. Remember what we just read? Though the word hadn't come to pass. It's been a test. Amen. Amen. It's been a test. But amen. It's all good. I can see you. See, what I see in here is I see people that are more like Jesus. That's what you want to see. You want to see people that are becoming more like Christ. If you don't see that, we've really failed as a church. Amen? All right. Young lady, what's your name?
Lydia.
Lydia. How old are you, Lydia?
17.
17, God help us. No. Let's pray for mom and dad right now. Interception. No, amen. Lydia, you got a good heart. And, Jesus, help me, Lord. I don't know if you're in the season or you're coming to the season, but you're going to be tested in the fact that my mom and dad's God's going to be my God. Every one of my children went through it, where they came to a place where they had to say, and they all told me, because I asked them, I said, what age? When did it happen? But all of them had to come to that place. Am I going to serve this God that my mom and dad are serving? Because basically, I've been following. You know what I'm saying? I mean, like my kids. I'd say, do you know, it's time to go to church. Well, I don't want to. I didn't say that. I said, it's time to go to church. You're going whether you like it or not. Hello? And so they'd come dragging in, whatever. But I'd say, at least you're in church. Amen. And thank God they're all saved. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. But I'm telling you, you're coming to that season, and it's a season of responsibility that God, and I don't know what your dreams or visions are or what the Lord has shown you, but there's a middle part. I don't know how to, I'm trying to say this the best way I can see it in the Spirit. But there's like the dreams and visions of God coming to pass in your life, but then there's this middle part where God's got to take you through some things. It's the proving and the testing and the to see that you'll be a woman of character, that you won't give up when being tested and tried. And the thing is, you've got a pure heart. You've got a good heart. You're a compassionate person. It's in you. And there has been some things that happened in school or some different circumstances, I'm not sure where, but it almost, the enemy came against you to crush your compassion. Some things were said about you, something happened, and it almost like, because see, it happened, I didn't know the Lord, but even when I was growing up, I had this compassion in me because I was alive to God. I used to pray to Him. Now, our parent, we didn't know about Jesus, but I prayed to God. I knew He was there, and I had this compassion. But the enemy, because I didn't know Jesus, took advantage. And after a while, I said, I don't like this compassion stuff. Or I didn't like the gift that was in me. I didn't like it. Because it would cost. So you have to be vulnerable. You have to put yourself out on the line. Like I tell people, God gave His heart to the world and we crucified it. And so what God asks us to do oftentimes is put your heart out there. And when it gets crucified, sometimes we back off. But God's telling you, go ahead. Because He wants to refill you. He wants to do a work in you, through you. Because your hands are going to lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. You'll be moved with compassion. There's a teaching gift in you. There's a teaching gift in you that God's going to... And it'll be... Your teaching will come out of compassion. Come out of your gifting to help other people. Amen? So... Be strong in the Lord. Amen.
to this because we can't talk at the same time anyway. Also, do you have a desire to go on the mission field to travel? Because I saw you going to the nations, like for in particular India, and with a group. And it'd be a really good experience. So just put that before the Lord and saying, Lord, is that your will? Is that what you have for me? There's some exciting times ahead.
You got anything for anybody?
No.
Hey, amen. Now, there was somebody I saw earlier. Who is it? I'm still... I don't see him now. Maybe they left. I don't know. Well, you know the hand of God's on your life. And how old are you?
15.
Going on 21, right? there's some transitions that God's going to do in your life. And... this is funny. And there's some things that are going to come up, and you're going to have to make a choice to take the easy road or the hard road. It's because God's developing you, and He's going to cause you to be a man of God. And so just pass the test. Amen? Just, Lord, it's tempting often to take the easy road. I'm telling you, take the hard one. And what you could do is in Him, you can find strength like Paul did, and it won't be so hard. Amen? And my brother back there sitting down, what's your name? Pardon?
Shane.
What was your name? I'm sorry.
Corey.
Okay, the last prophetic word for Corey. Amen. It's Shane. Shane, can you stand up? I can see you better. Amen. Let me just say this. Did you have anything you want to say to Corey? All right. I get to moving too fast sometimes. Corey. Shane. Thank you. That's why I have overseers that help me. God knows I need it. Amen. Shane. Thank you, Lord. The hand of God is on your life. And when I say that, it means that you have the grace and the ability to do whatever it is the Lord's asking you to do. And even in this troubled season and in this time and the things that you're going through, God wants you to know that He's gracing you, that He's enabling you, that He's helping you, and that you're not alone. Okay? You're not alone in the challenges that you face. And it's almost like you're facing several different challenges. And God said He is going to give you the wisdom and understanding how to conquer and overcome. Okay? Now the season you're in is a season where God is doing some things in your life. The end product is that you'll be more like Jesus, which you've cried out to be that. You've taken that leap of faith and said, Lord, I want to be more like You. And God said, okay. So these things have come up. So don't allow the enemy to crush you. And I'll just say this. Do not be perplexed. See, don't get to wondering. Because too many times in my life, the enemy's taking me over to wonder. Whoa, wonder. Get perplexed. Can't figure out. Oh, Lord, what's going on? You walk by faith. You know how to do that. So you walk by faith and watch what God does on your behalf. There's a transition happening in you that you'll know that you're a son of God. And what I mean by that is that you'll know I have authority to do some things. See, when we know we're sons of God, then it gives us more authority. We can do things. We can step out. And so you be faithful to what you're going through right now and let God take care of it and just do what He tells you to do. Don't do more. Because the temptation, when we're struggling and going through things, the temptation is try to do more because we're trying to get out of the fix we're in. You know what? Joseph couldn't do any more when that butler forgot him. But stayed in prison 2 more years and believed God. Believe God. So you believe God, trust God, and see what God's going to do on your behalf. Amen?
And Shane also heard that there's a drawing of the Lord to come into closer fellowship with those around you. And I saw like there's a circle, but then you're kind of content to stay. I just want to kind of stay on the outskirts. And the Lord's like, it's not, I don't know if it's discipleship or just more intimacy in the body, that you have callings and giftings and uniqueness. And just, it's like the Lord's saying, hey, I've planted some stuff in there. I want to draw it out. And there's other things that he wants to draw out of other people and impart to you. So I just sense like there's no dark corners. There's nothing hidden. We don't throw things in closets because sure enough, God throws open our closets, turns on the light, and starts dealing with those things. So there's no fear. And there's no, like, sometimes we as believers think, well, if people knew that about me or whatever, you know, that keeps us on the outside. But the Lord's calling you in. Because I just sense there's a future ministry that the Lord has for you. That's just perfectly fit for you, and that he wants. We are rightly fit together.
Yes.
We are apart. You know, that ligament does me no good laying on the floor. It does me good when I want to bend my elbow. And so the Lord's saying he wants that ligament to supply, and it wants to be a blessing to you, and he wants you to be a blessing to other people too.
All right, Gracie, do you remember? Dear Lord, do you remember yesterday when we was doing that, and I was touching you, and you're like, "Why are you touching me?" And I said, "Well, what if Jesus touched you? Would you push off his hand?" And you said, "No. Why wouldn't you do that? Because it's Jesus." See, you wouldn't. Now you understand that I don't want to push off his hand. I don't want. Well, let me say it. Believe it or not, you know his hand is your parents. Yeah. So what you don't want to do when they're giving you instruction or trying to help you, you don't want to push off Jesus' hand. And let me just say this: you don't want to push off his hand when he says, "I think very highly of you, and you need to think highly of yourself." It's okay to be humble, but it's not. See, here, let me just say this. You born again? Yeah, you're supposed to answer yes, no, I don't know. Yeah, okay, you're a child of God?
Yes.
All right. Well, see, then the Bible, you know what the Bible says? You're not your own. So you can't say bad things about yourself because you're the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're saying bad things about him when you're saying about yourself. Okay? Think about that. If I say bad things about myself, I'm talking bad things about Jesus. See, you remember when Paul was out persecuting Christians, and the Lord came to him and said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? I'm just killing a bunch of people. I ain't touching you, Lord." No. I ain't messing with you, God. I'm like, oh. But see, that's how personal Jesus. You're killing me out there. That's me. So we're going to change the way we talk? Okay, thank you. Huh? It's because we have this koinonia with each other. We're in just, you know, we got this thing going. And I'm not trying to embarrass you. I'm trying to help you. Amen? Because I want, you're going to be a mighty woman of God. Don't you try. You just trust the Lord. You just follow his instruction. And so here's his first instruction. Talk good about yourself. Next time I come, I'm checking up. Or you're coming down. You'll be coming down. in July.
Hello.
Is it Corley? Is that what they said? I just sense that there's really a mantle of leadership. And it's because you have a real strong sense of who you are and what you think is right and what you think is wrong. And most of it has been formed by good parents and God. There's a few things that aren't, though. And so I just sense there's going to be a real working of God in your life to discern the difference. And all we have to have is a humble heart and a willingness to bend to His will. Because I see, like, our son, like Tom was making reference to, I used to call him my Pied Piper. Because he'd always have younger kids that want to hang out with him, and he'd go, and he'd always play ball with them or whatever. He'd get in trouble at school because he'd take up for people, kids are getting bullied or whatever. And when he went front, you know, up front, it was like he had the pipe, you know, the flute, and he was playing, and it was drawn. And that's just like the calling that you have, that you're called to be a leader. And it really is, it's probably less struggle for you to do what you know is right, because it's like a steel rod inside of you. But that will be tested. And it's okay to be unique. Yeah. And I just sense, like, with you and your dad, there's going to be even, like, you have a good relationship, but there's an awesomeness that's going to come. And it's like an appreciation of differences. Because you kind of are different. You kind of think differently, feel differently about things. And it's like I was telling Susan, I said, about her uniqueness, I was just tickled by it. And I said, I'm just celebrating you, because it's different. And that's what the Lord's beginning to do in you, a maturity beyond your years, you know, that you can appreciate things that aren't anything like you and you probably will never be. But that you can celebrate that in them. And the Lord's opening up your mouth to speak those things out. Like when you feel things or hear things, sometimes you'll even hear it, like Pastor Craig will say it, or Pastor James will say it. Somebody, you'll hear it again, go, I had that, I thought the same thing. And the Lord sometimes is going to call on you to open your mouth and speak forth the word of God. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Sir, what's your name?
Joe.
I'll put it this way. God is changing things on your behalf. Okay? Now, when I was sitting up there, I looked out and I saw you, and the Lord said there's been a lot of despair and a lot of different things that's happened throughout your life. And sometimes you thought, will anything ever good happened to me? And there's been like dreams that didn't come to pass, disappointments, hurts and things. But God's word to you is good things are going to happen in your life and through your life. Okay? God has never given up on you. And there's been times when you gave up on yourself, but I'm telling you, God has never given up on you, and God is going to help you, and He's going to restore. And all God is asking of you, just learn to be obedient. And then, because here's what the enemy wants to do with you, he wants to play the past to you. He wants to bring up the past and say, well, look, it happened here, this happened, and then you'd say, yeah, and you would kind of give up a little bit. But God's saying, walk by faith, learn to obey me, and I'll bring restoration. And even those desires that you have in here, God said He's going to bring them to pass. He will give you the desires of your heart. And let me just say it, right now you're thinking too little. You need to think bigger. Okay? God wants to do big things, not only in you, but through you. Amen? And so, think big. Lord, how do I think like you? How do I put things in perspective to where I can think big like you? You're a big God, and you think big. How can I do that? And what God's going to do is He's going to just take you step by step, and then you're going to learn how to obey Him, how to follow Him. And let me just say it, when you disobey, just repent and get up and say, Lord, I'm at it again. Amen? Amen. And there's only one person in here that I know that hadn't, you know, disobeyed God, and that's Craig. I mean, that's why he's the bishop. I mean, you know. Amen. Just joking. But we've all fallen. We've all tripped up. We've all messed up. And so the thing is to just say, Lord, forgive me. I confess my sin. You're faithful and just to forgive me of my sin. And then the Bible says He'll cleanse us of all unrighteousness. God wants to do a cleansing. And God's kind of shut you off from people from your past. Does it make sense?
Yes.
Well, there'll be a day when you'll go back. You'll go back as a son of God. You'll go back as a child of God to tell them the truth. God's going to set it up. You'll know when to go back. But see, He's cut you off right now because He didn't want their influence on you. He had to remove that. It's kind of like me. I told the story last night. When God, Jesus used to come to my room and deal with me about issues and stuff, and so we'd go through all this, you know, bargaining. I thought we were bargaining. He's like, no, it's either my way or the highway, bub. And I'm bargaining, you know, I'm always bargaining. So he came to me one night and he says, Tom, you need to give up your friends. And I said, well, Lord, I can't give up my friends. And he said, well, you either give them up or go to hell with them. I said, I give them up. I said, they're gone. I didn't really like them that much anyway. Amen. They're gone. What God did is He separated me from them for a season. And then all of a sudden He said, Tom, go back. Talk to him.
Not to be a part of them.
Yeah. I didn't. I got strong. And so I went back and started witnessing to them. And they didn't like it. They didn't, you know, they didn't want to hear what I had to say. They didn't, you know. In fact, they told me afterwards, they said, man, you'd come in and spoil the party. You know, you'd just show up. Yeah. And I wouldn't, yeah, I'd be like, ooh. But anyway, just what I see you doing. You being strong in the Lord in yourself. And you're not going to go back to be pushy or anything. You're just going to back to say, Lord, whatever you want me to do. Well, however you want me to, you know. I'll just tell you a little story. I would go to their parties, mess them all up. They didn't like them. In fact, I think a friend of mine got saved. Thank you, Jesus. Good friend of mine. One of my best friends got saved. And he told me that other people were saying, why'd you tell him not to come? You know, not to come around anymore. And but he didn't do it. He said, well, you know, I like the guy. I just don't like what he's doing. But anyway, I was at one of these parties one night, and this girl came up to me. And she said, you know, you're different. And I said, well, yeah, a little bit. And said, yeah, I'm different. And then I began to explain and led her to the Lord. So there's people, it may not be your friends that you, and like I said, my best friend, he came to the Lord too, but it was through someone else. I played a part, I planted my seed, and then someone else reaped the harvest. But that's what I see you doing, going planting seeds, and then you'll reap some harvest. Amen? Amen. So just in God's timing, when God tells you, you just do it. Amen. Amen. Everybody's going to the shower or the what is it? The what's it called?
Bridal shower.
Amen. All right. Y'all leaving too? All right. Oh, yeah, yes you are, you big outfit, we know. Love you, man.
We know.
We'll keep it a secret. Oh, yeah. There you go, my man, the man of God. Brian, your coat. You're right, coat. I'll just say this before you leave, Brian. You and your wife, I just have a little short word for you. You're in a shift. Things are beginning to shift and change, and you need to really ask and have a plan. God, how can we reach more? How can we reach more? God's going to prosper you, but it's not so you all can live comfortably. It's so that you can reach, and you've got a real heart to do that. You've got a heart to reach. And so God's going to give you a plan. He's going to give you a strategy on how to do that. And what I what I said, the prophetic, out of the Bible, prophetic, when evil comes, I'm telling you, if you guys will lock up in faith through the time, He can prosper you through that time. I mean, when things are going bad, financial things are going bad, the truth is, when that in 08, people prospered in 08, but a lot of people lost. I'm telling you, you guys can prosper. Okay? But you got to lock in with God and say, God, what is it? What is it? And this the reason you're prospering us is so that we can help. We can see what to do. And God will give you all a strategy and a plan to do that. Amen? And so look for it. And so I see you're going through a season of up and down. Don't let it affect your faith. Okay? Y'all ain't done anything wrong. You're in a good place. God's blessing you. And so don't ask those questions I ask. Amen? Don't do those things. And just press forward. And especially, sister, guilt would like to be a real friend to you. I'm just telling you. And you just say, no, you're not my friend. I'm not going to. There is no condemnation. Amen. And I'm going to be free. Amen. So, amen. Bless you guys. Love you guys. Appreciate you. Amen. You're welcome. My brother right there. Where'd my wife go? Okay. Y'all married? Really? You should have said she's my girlfriend. Amen. You working?
We're not out right now.
Okay, amen. Well, the word of the Lord came up is the new job's ahead of you. And here's the thing, don't you limit yourself. And really, let me say this. In this season of time that you've been going through, the enemy's really tried to hurt your manliness. I don't know how else to say it. I don't know if I said it right. But you need to know who you are in Christ. You know what I'm saying? Don't let how the enemy's badgered your mind and what he's done against you. It's been false. The things that he said about you, the things that's been spoken against you, is a lie. You're a man of God. You're a child of God. And you need to know that. Because these circumstances happen, wasn't in my control. It's just like I tell people, stuff happens. And when it happens, we, the people of God, should rise to the surface. And that's really what He's been in coming and encouraging you. I know you got touched this morning. God was speaking some things in your heart. And let me just say it, sis, you do hear the Lord. Even though the enemy tries to tell you, you don't hear, you don't do, and tries to put things. And really, the enemy would want to convince you. See, well, I'll put it this way. I'll say this. You're highly favored of God. But the enemy doesn't want you to know that. And so he does everything he can to convince you that you're on this lower rung of Christianity. Somehow you ended up at the bottom, and yet for some reason I can't get to the top. Because it seems like every time I go up the ladder a little bit, I get knocked down again. But you need to know, I'm one of God's favorites. See, I'm His favorite, so you can be another one. Amen? But you need to know within your frame, and with all that y'all been going through, and I don't know how many months have been, it seems like it's been several months, that y'all been going through this thing, that it's really, there's been a struggle going on. But I'm telling you, you all got enough in you. God didn't invest the things that He invested in you for you guys to turn out to be losers. Because you're not losers. Amen? See, here's the way, when I go through stuff, I have to remember this scripture, otherwise I get discouraged. This doesn't seem to be true, but the Bible says this. He says, God always leads us in triumph as trophies of Christ's victory. And sometimes I'm like, the always part, God is getting me. Because this season I'm going through doesn't really feel like a triumphal thing, you know. And I don't really feel like I'm this trophy. I feel like I'm, you know, been burned up. I'm a Christian. I got burned up. But I'm just telling you, God is leading you. God is guiding you. So y'all don't give up. Amen. Just stand in there. God's got a new job for you. And you'll know it's God because it'll pay more than the last. You need to expect that. You need to believe, God, my next job, I'm going to get more money than I got the last job. Amen. I'm going to put my faith out there, God. I'm going to believe, God, this next job I get, I'm going to get paid more than what was I got the last job. And they might say, well, we want to hire you for this amen. Say, and if you say amen, I'll take it. But I'm telling you, you'll end up with more money. You'll end up with more money. I had a friend in our church, or a member of our church, he went through about a year of no job. Got fired or got laid off. He didn't get fired, he got laid off. They were doing a downsizing, he got laid off. And for a year, he learned how to walk by faith and trust God for his provision. They hired him back up, and he told me the other day, yeah, this new job, and he went to one position, and he said, I'm going to another position, and I could make $50 an hour. I went, aren't you glad you obeyed God through that last year? You didn't give up? And I mean, he came to me a lot and would say, Tom, what's going on? I'd say, God's teaching you, you don't put your trust in money, because he's always had it. It's always been there for him. But you know what? I watched God, and there was times where I wanted to get involved or get in, and God'd say, no, I'm going to do it. He would get in, and I'd say, and he'd call me, Tom, the Lord did this. Tom, the Lord did this, provided me with this. And his dad, this was funny, but his car broke down thing. His dad bought him a car, $1,700 car, but you know what? It got him back and forth. It didn't look real good, but it met his need. And you know what? Because he'd struggle sometimes. You think I should? I'm like, you better take that. Amen. That's God. That's God. And so y'all, he's going to lead you in triumph. He is leading you in triumph. Amen. Amen. So hang in there. Amen. Hallelujah. Remember, when I'm weak, then he's strong. And I feel so weak, Lord. Amen? I know. I was going to tell something else, but I don't tell it. Amen. Well, it looks like about God, everybody, except for this young lady. Oh, and you too, didn't we? Amen. There's the young lady over there. Is that your daughter there? You two related? Amen. Let me just say this. What's your name? No, her. Jill. Jack? No, just joking. What is your name?
Sarah.
All right, good name. Jill, you are gifted. All right? You have giftings. And I don't know what you do in the church, or I don't know anything, but there is a mentoring process that God wants to take you through, and it's with someone else in the church here to help you to bring out those giftings. Now, here's what can happen to a lot of people, that their gift can get ahead of their character. God doesn't want that to happen to you. He wants to build character in you so that you'll be Christ-like. You want to be Christ-like? Amen. And so what he's going to do is he's going to begin to give you some insights and understanding. And let me just say this, your future, you haven't seen, it's kind of like the future's blurred and you can't quite see down the road like God was. And that's because God hadn't shown you, because he wants you to walk by faith. And if you'll obey him, more will be given. If you learn to obey him, take the instructions that he gives you, more will happen, and you'll see more down into the future and what God has for you and the plans He has for you. Now, we know the ultimate plan. That we, you know, if we die, we go to heaven. Amen. But I'm saying we've got to learn to live day by day, and then what God does is He opens up things to us. You'll find yourself getting prophetic words and people talking about your future and what God has for you. And then as you learn to become obedient, God will open up more. And then what's going to happen is you're going to find yourself, because there's a giver in you, one of the gifts that God's placed in you is giving. But you haven't had the means to do it. God's going to give you the means to give. Amen? He's going to give you the means to give. Amen? And Sarah?
Yeah.
Because of the way things have happened, what we can do is we can close our heart up. And let me just say this about Jesus. My bestest friend, he'll never hurt you. Now, there's been some people in your past that have hurt you. But I'm telling you what, you can always trust Him. You can put your faith in Him, and He will never hurt you. You can share your heart. You can get mad at Him. You can tell Him what's been going on and say, "Lord, I need an answer." And a lot of times, He'll just come in and comfort you, put His arms around you. And all of a sudden, you'll say, "That's all I needed, God, was a hug. That's all I needed was a good hug." And so I want you to know, God's letting you know that you can trust Him. With all the pain and all the past things that happened, you can open yourself up to Him and He'll bring healing. And you'll realize, "Oh, you're my best friend. I can say anything I need to say to you and you'll listen." See, when I get hurt, you know what I do? I go tell Jesus. I say, "Jesus, I'm hurt. That hurt me. They did this to me." I mean, one of the first things I did when they told me I was, "You need to resign as the pastor." First thing I did is I said, "Jesus, I'm hurting. Man, this does not feel good." When I had some things going on in my family and they hurt me, I went to Him and I said, "Jesus," funny part is we were driving home to Bristol. All my family were back in the seat and rejection was just pounding on me. And I said, "Jesus, help me." And He healed me, and guess what? I didn't have to deal with rejection. And you don't either. Hallelujah. See, rejection doesn't have to be a part of your life. And the truth is, we all get rejected. If I talk to everybody in here, everybody'd say, "I've been rejected one time or another." Now, some of us have been more severe than others. You know, like Joseph, his whole family, except for his dad, they was wanting to kill him. Now, that's a big rejection. that's a big one. But you know what? Evidently, somewhere in there, he said, "God, I'm hurting." And God said, "I'll take care of you." He wants to be your best friend. Amen. Hallelujah. How you doing there, young lady? You doing all right? You want to help me a little bit? Prophesy over some people? Okay, you want to pick somebody? Amen. Oh, yes. Two ladies. All right. How y'all doing? Good. Are you guys related anyway? Oh, really? Praise God. Amen. What a blessing. What a blessing. Amen. I'm not trying to pick on you because you're going to be less. The Lord's stirring me for her, okay? Because I was really going to minister over you and then the Lord showed me that. Amen. So anyway. This last season you've been going through has been difficult. It's been hard. But the Lord wants you to know that He's with you and that He's enabling you. And it's almost been like a cloud And, oh, I'll say this. Discouragement is one to be your friend. He's tried to snuggle up with you and be your friends. And even the thing that happened in the past, it was almost like a big disappointment. The enemy almost tried to take your life out and just try to knock you down. I'm telling you, God's going to heal that. God's going to restore you. God's going to help you. And quit blaming yourself. Okay? Will you do that? Quit blaming yourself. See, just Jesus took. He took that. He took that on himself. So you don't have to blame yourself no more. Okay? You quit looking back and say, God, I'm going to press on to head for what God has for me. Amen? And I'm telling you, as you do that, you're going to see God restore. You're going to see you're going to be whole, complete. Amen? It's because God loves you. You're his daughter. You are special to him. Amen? And so, Father, I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. What was your name?
Eleanor.
Father, I thank you for what you're doing in Eleanor, Lord. And Lord, we just prophesy this. I want everybody to agree with me that her worst days are over. Amen. That God, she's got good days ahead of her. We proclaim it, God. We say it, God, that she has good days ahead of her. That God's going to restore and do a work in her. And that, Father, she's going to get back on her feet. And that, Father, she's going to begin to help others like she's done in the past. And Lord, she does help others because she's got a heart of compassion. Lord, and the enemy's tried to take that heart. He tried to take that gift. He tried to take that compassion out of her. But God, we're not going to allow the enemy to do that in Jesus' name. It's not going to happen in Jesus' name. But Lord, I thank you that you're going to restore her, and she's going to find herself giving. Giving and giving and giving. And we thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me just say this to you. I forgot your name. Pardon?
Michael.
All right, Michael. The Lord wants you to know. There you go. The Lord wants you to know that your life's not an accident, and even the things, like when we were talking last night, and you made the comment about the teacher that it wasn't good for him not to come in and teach. See, God's placed godly things within you, the right and wrong within you, and all God is simply saying in this season, this time to you is, step over and do what's right. Let me help you do what's right. See, here's what the Bible, it says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. But it goes on to say this, that what we do is we step from doing unrighteous things and we step over and we say, okay, God, I'm willing. See, all repentance is we're walking this way, and we turn around and we say, Lord, help me to do what's right. Because see, right and wrong's in you. The hand of God is on your life. Now, life has been, it's just not turned out. It's been unfair. Life has been unfair to you. But you know what? We got a God of justice that can take the wrong things and make them right. See, when I grew up, life was not fair. Mom and Dad got a divorce. You know, people say, they ask me all the time, yeah, when I was young, we ate this. And I said, well, when I was young, we were just trying to figure out if we were going to get anything to eat that night or not. Now, I didn't have nothing to do with that. I didn't, how did I get involved in all this mess? But you know what God did? He come along, and he made what was right, what was wrong, and he made it right. And I'm telling you, Jesus can do that for you. He can turn, and he can make you to where when you look at yourself, it's like the day I got born again. I had long hair. I was trying to be like hippies, we said last night. I didn't know what it meant to be a hippie, but I was trying. So I had this long hair, and when I'd wash my hair, it'd go poof, and it would come out. And so I go to this church, and I'm thinking they're going to say he's a hippie, and they'd all reject me. And when I first showed up, walked in the church, this guy runs up and hugs me, an older man in a suit, just like Ed there. runs up and hugs me, and I'm like, someone, deliver me, help me. But I was saying, man, you know, they got something that I don't have. And then that day when I finally bowed my knee to him and said, Lord, I'm going this way, but I'm turning and I'm going this way. All of a sudden, when I got up and I was born again, I said, you know what, I'm a son of God. I have this long hair. I don't have it. I had two bags of clothes to my name. But when I stood up, I said, you know what, I'm a son of God. I'm a child of God. Whew. Didn't have any clue where I was going, what I was going to do, what was going to happen. But all of a sudden, for the first time in my life, I was somebody. I wasn't a mistake. I wasn't just living. I wasn't just there for what I didn't, you know, I had no purpose in life. But for the first time, man, I'm somebody. God wants to make you a somebody in His kingdom. Hello. It's the truth. Hallelujah. Go ahead.
What's your name?
Lee.
Lee? L-Y-N. L-Y-N, Lynn. I just sense that you've got a persistence, a very persistent spirit, and that you've been knocked down, but you pick yourself up. Like the scriptures Tom was reading today, you could relate with it. That's been part of your life. And that pleases the Lord. And the Lord says, don't give up. And don't think, oh, well, they've got that covered. No, because He has called you. You were in the prayer room, right? That you are called to that prayer room, and that that you have a place and a voice, and you're special to the Lord. And He wants to deal with sometimes it's just like, I will do right, I will follow the Lord, I will not be discouraged. But sometimes it comes to you, it just sometimes be easier just to back out and go somewhere else, do something else. But the Lord says, I've called you here. I've called you to the season. I've called, like I spoke to somebody else, I've called you not only to receive, I've called you to give, and it's a very symbiotic relationship, and that you have gifts and talents, you have things within you that haven't even been explored yet. And the Lord said, I just sense to tell you not to give up, and to give your part, and to celebrate the differences, and you don't have to be like whoever. And they don't have to be like you. But it's so neat when we all come together. It makes a beautiful union. And that sometimes you're thinking, I think I must have missed the will of God, because some things didn't seem like they fit together. And it's been kind of a struggle. And the enemy's tried to beat you up over that. You know, well, if you hadn't have done this, or you should have done that, or if you were faster, if you were slower, forget it. Recognize the voice of the enemy in this, and the Lord says, you have my permission to not listen to that voice anymore. Don't analyze it anymore. Don't even go there. Say, Lord, I've given it to you. It's in your hands. In your future, I just see a blossoming and a blessing coming forth, and a great fruitfulness. So He says, in the winter, it would be silly to see apples on the tree, because they would rot. But there is a season of fruitfulness. There's even fruit now within, but you just can't see it. Amen.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right. Be blessed. Go eat.